From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever-wonderful, ever-vampiric, ever-cape-wearing, the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my producer, my sickened sinus infection friend, Count Pag himself. Oh, hey there, Count Pag.
Oh, hey, Bob, yes. Don't worry about me, just some sinuses to get through. Tis the season for sinuses.
Well, weather's changing. You know, we go from brutal cold to mildly cold, and everybody's getting sick. And that's where we're going to start the show off with. We're going to talk a little bit about why we've been gone. I'm not a petty case, Count Panic. I don't like to have people take pity on me. I don't like to air, not my dirty laundry, but I don't like people to feel bad for me because there's a lot of bad things in the world. Hence why it's been very hard for me to come forward with this. But there's a big reason why we've been kind of back and forth for a while here, and Count's extremely sick, but is pulling through literally just so he could put something out there.
Got to get something out.
So back in December, my father was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and, you know, devastating diagnosis, but the doctor it was early stages. So we were pretty sure that we had a lot of time left. We were pretty sure that it was going to, you know, take time. We were going to get this test done, get him on the meds to help slow things down a little bit, and, you know, it'll progress the way it's going to progress. Fast forward to the middle of February, my father started having full-blown hallucinations and was very, very ill. I got to the point where I finally called 911, got him an ambulance to go to the hospital to make sure that he didn't have a stroke, and none of us really knew. Unfortunately, my father's diagnosis turned terminal, and he is level 7 dementia currently. And over the past few weeks, getting him admitted to a, you know, nursing facility so he gets the care that he needs for the while until we figure out what's next. It's terrible. This is the worst possible thing I could have ever imagined in my life, let alone my mom. I'm 31, and I always expected this to happen at some point. You know, you think of your parents getting older and these things happen. My dad's 69, you know what I mean? Like, that's young. That, in my opinion, you know, you're young at that age for things to come up, and I guess maybe not. The world's going to do what it's going to do. And this disease is disgusting. It's awful. Like, I just saw my dad the day of this recording, and it's killing me internally to see my dad like that. You guys know from the show, we talk about my very Polish proud father, working in a steel mill for 47 years, just retired due to his Alzheimer's diagnosis in December, and 3 months later, he's laid up in a nursing home. And it's hard to do anything right now. I'm suffering from a grand scale of depression and anxiety, and it sucks. But I'm not telling you this to pity me. I'm telling you guys this as an explanation on why I haven't been around, and Count's been extremely supportive behind the scenes and us trying to reschedule stuff. I mean, even to the point where Count's here with me now with him being sick, just so we could put something out.
Just some sinuses.
He's still sick, man. Yeah, it sucks. I know you're here. It means a lot for me for you to do that. And I've had a lot of the people that are friends with me personally knew what was going on, the fans that listen. And I've had a really good, like, outcrying of fans, you know, support and everything. And it's really nice. It's just, this is hard. And it's hard because, you know, we talk about these things on the show, and we talk about the concept of, you know, mortality a lot, right? And, you know, circle of life and et cetera, and the concept of death and, you know, what's after this. And I never expected it to be knocking on my doorstep anytime soon, even though I'm pretty, you know, I don't want to say I'm numb to death because I don't think anybody really is.
No.
But for it to be like right here in front of me, it's weird. But it goes to show like where like what I do and what I talk about really does help. I feel like, because it has been a big thing for me, is I'm not afraid of when this day is going to come really fast with my dad. I'm not afraid of what's going to happen next. I guess I'm more afraid of my dad coming back and screwing with me. And it's one of those things where it's really strange to have a conversation about a loved one's passing when they're going to pass. Like, it's going to happen very soon. And it's weird because you have to come to terms with that really quick. Because when somebody's suffering from something like this, it's awful. And I had to come to terms with that. And again, I don't want to harp on this entire episode, but I wanted to say, like, if you have an elder parent or an elder loved one, don't take their health for granted, because it can really, like, come back at you. Because my dad was healthy, and then he got an Alzheimer's diagnosis, and it hit real fast, real quick. And it's completely devastating. So, like, don't take those loved ones for granted. And make sure, like, even if you have an elderly neighbor, and, you know, like, they don't have a whole lot of family that come and check on them, just shoot them, knock on the door, ask them if they're okay. Because you have no idea what this stuff, you know, and our healthcare system treats elderly too. It's awful. So yeah. my sentiment to all of you is just take that for granted. And honestly, thank everybody that's reached out to me during this. I've gone public about it now. I'm not hiding it anymore. It's there. And I even put it up on the, you know, Facebook page and the Children of Night page, just so you guys know why we've been quiet. Cause yeah, I mean, we get moved around for basketball and stuff. And you know, there's conventions that I'm kind of canceling all of my appearances at, because it's only a real matter of time before something happens. But like, I gotta give it to my dad though, even at his worst right now, and it sucks. Anybody who's ever been through dementia knows it's literally the worst. My dad, when he gets his peeks in of knowing what's going on, he'll tell his nurses at the nursing home, believe it or not, that his son is Bob from Bob After Dark. And he'll tell them, oh, my son's gonna be a big TV star with the Spirits and Spirits pilot. And it's wild. I'm like trying to fight off the verge of tears while we're recording this, but it is what it is. I'm happy to be here though.
Yeah, you know, Bob, I know people, you may have been wondering what's going on with everything, but the health of you, the health of your loved ones, that comes first, of course, naturally. And you know, I don't think people, you know, it was you that wanted to be the first one to go public with it. It was not our place to say anything. It had to come from you originally. And you did that. And I think, you know, you're overwhelmed by the support of the listeners or even those that view us.
Yeah.
Just coming together, you know, during this time. The Bob After Dark community, very strong community, Bob.
Very much so. And I can't. And I'm sure the people that don't do the social media thing, I don't even know if the fans that listen to the radio are going to know what's happening. Perhaps, you know, they'll hear this one if we play it on the radio. Yeah. But, like, the people that do know have been extremely supportive. And that makes me very happy to know that people are out there and they care. This is my last bit on this. We're going to move into the show. It's going to be a quick one this week, folks, because it's just one of those things where it's like, the next couple of weeks, we're going to be doing the show regular schedule.
Yeah.
We have two guests coming back to back. I understand, like, the theme months kind of went out the window. I'm sorry. But we have two great guests coming in the next couple of weeks that are, and we'll talk a little bit about that later. They're going to help me get the show up and running, and then we'll be back on normal scheduling after that. But for this week, I have a quick story for you guys. We have some news stuff, and that's it.
It's kind of just to recap everything that's
exactly.
going on.
Yeah, exactly. And just to talk
a little bit.
Get the
ball rolling once again.
I do have some news articles.
Oh.
And I do have a quick cryptid story.
All right.
From a wild thing. And but real quick, like, the last bit I'm going to touch on this about this whole Alzheimer's dementia thing is there's no advocate for dementia, because the dementia people are demented. In the psychological term demented, they can't speak for themselves. And I don't feel like there's a lot of support out there when you look for it, but you don't have a lot of people coming forward on things like this. So if there's one thing I'm going to walk away from this, is maybe I can become an Alzheimer's dementia advocate. I'd hope so. And like I said, guys, just check in with your loved ones, seriously. And here we go. Right. If this is your first time ever listening to Bob After Dark, we are a paranormal podcast where we talk about legends, lore, and supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, and weird cryptid stories, and of course, Count Panic's favorite shape of noodle.
Oh, man. I guess Spiral.
That's actually my favorite, the cavatappi.
I like a spiral noodle.
The cavatappi. You and I finally agreed on
I don't
something.
Know the name of it.
It's the cavatappi. Okay. Look it up. I'm not wrong.
I just call it the spiral
noodle. My niece always called it Bob's hair because that's how my hair is.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So the cavatappi. And we split the show up into two parts. Usually this is a little bit more dragged on, but we're putting this out. We're getting it done. I understand, guys. But you're still going to enjoy it because Bob After Dark at the end of the day is still here. Mm-hmm. And I'm moving on. So let's talk about some news stories. The first one's probably going to be the biggest news article that's been come out lately. And by the way, for our new listeners, when we talk about news, it's the weird, spooky news of the week. This is where you find the news articles that are related to the paranormal, advances in science that borderline on science fiction, just the overall high strangeness, right? Mm-hmm. And this one was sent to me so much during the downtime, I didn't know I wanted to do something with it, but you know, you're dealing with what you're dealing with. So you just kind of sit on it. So it's kind of old news now, but at the time it was fascinating. This is from the New York Post. It's the ancient Japanese killing stone said to contain evil demon has cracked open. And if you have that on your apocalypse bingo card, go ahead and scratch that off. This is written by Jamie Harris with The Sun. As if the world doesn't have enough problems, people are now worried that an evil demon locked in a rock for almost 1,000 years is on his loose. The so-called killing stone that kept a malevolent spirit imprisoned all this time is split into two, sending believers into a state of panic. Japanese legend has said that anyone who's come in contact with the rock will die. According to mythology, the volcanic rock officially called Sasahoseki is home to the Tamamomo no Mei, aka the nine-tailed fox. Or the kitsune, if you will. The demon apparently took the form of a beautiful woman who was a part of a plot to kill Emperor Toba, ruler of Japan from 1107 to 1123. Located in the mountainous north region of Tochigiki near Tokyo, the rock is something of a tourist hotspot, but now the visitors are fearful. Some speculate that the evil spirit have been resurrected to wreak havoc once more. I feel like I've seen something I shouldn't have seen, one visitor said on Twitter. Others have commented saying, here I thought 2022 couldn't get worse. Now a furious Japanese spirit is freed from its killing stone. But author joked, my guess is the demon is going to look around at 2022 and want to go right back into the rock for another millennia. Local reports suggest the rock actually started cracking a couple of years ago when nobody really noticed what was going on. And then it was a little bit more noticed now. And I think it makes sense with the time frame we're in. As much as you can panic, the hashtag panics take.
Yeah, you know what? The whole thing with the
2022. Did you see the story before?
I did see it, yes. Yeah. But the whole, you know, there's any spirit being released is bad. But you don't want a Japanese spirit. Those are the
yokai. They are devastating creatures, man. Whenever you guys, anybody that might be listening from that saw me at OhioCon or Anime Detours Fan Weekend in Minneapolis, you know, we talked a little bit about the yokai and their mischievous nature.
Yeah.
This sounds like they released a kitsune.
Well, I'm hoping I hope this is the term, of course, fake news, and that this is not really happening right now.
Well, if it is, lucky for you. Oh. I know how to deal with them.
You might be sent in, Bob. You might be sent in.
Listen, do you know how you do battle with a kitsune?
How do you do it again?
You want to trick them into showing off their tails.
Okay.
And how you do that, you might ask.
Yes. How do you do that?
You get them drunk.
Oh, well, you could help them out with that.
That's the plan. Yes, you have to outdrink a kitsune.
That's right. I think.
And here's the thing. The older a kitsune gets, the more godlike powers they have.
Mm-hmm. Now, what happens if you can't outdrink it, though?
You're probably going to die a liver failure.
Okay, so you got to choose your path here, basically.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Wow. Well, I mean, you're up for the challenge, though.
Oh, I'm going. Government of Japan. mythological study research group of Japan. I have nothing to lose.
No.
So you can send me to Japan. I will go and take a look at the mysterious demonic rock. And I will figure out how to shove that thing right back into the rock, if you are that worried. Call me up, Bob at bobafterdark.com. You could email me there. Look me up. I'm here for you, government of Japan.
Yes.
I'm here to help.
You're ready.
I'm ready. Count Panic's coming with.
I'll be there, too, for moral.
We're going to go from Japan, then we're going to go to Yemen for the Screaming Well.
We're going all the place. I'll drink all the spirits. With spirits.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. All right. Moving forward, then. This is from Vice Motherlord. Motherboard, tech by Vice. Scientists achieve real-time communication with lucid dreamers in breakthrough. Now, this is one of those weird science stories that borderline on science fiction. You know what lucid dreaming is, correct?
Yeah.
People that are able to control what they're dreaming about. Some people believe that's what the afterlife is. It's all one big lucid dream. And, you know, that's why people train themselves to do it. I can do it sometimes. It takes a real, like, dedicated mind to do it.
Of course.
But there are times I can easily lucid dream, and it's actually kind of comforting to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Other times I prefer to let my dreams and whoever's trying to communicate with me get through it, whatever they're doing. But let's talk a little bit about this. This is written by Becky Farina. I hope I am pronouncing that right, Becky from Vice. Inspirational scientists have unlocked a new and exciting avenue to explore the world of dreams. Humanity has been able to reach distant vistas such as the moon, the deep oceans, and the wild expanses of the Earth's poles. Now scientists have made a new breakthrough in the exploration of a very different type of frontier, lucid narratory world of inside dreams. An international team of researchers was able to achieve real-time dialogues with people in the midst of lucid dreams. A phenomenon is called interactive dreaming, according to a study published on Thursday in the Current Biology. Participants in the study were able to correctly respond to questions such as simple math problems while they were deep in those rapid eye REM sleep movements. The research reveals a relatively unexplored communication channel that could enable a new strategy for the empirical exploration of dreams, the study reports. There are studies of lucid dreamers communicating out of dreams and also remembering to do tasks, said Karen Kalaki, a PhD student at Northwestern University and the first author of the paper, A Call. But there's a fairly limited amount of research on the stimuli going into lucid dreams. One thing that surprised us is that you could say a sentence to somebody and they can understand it just as it actually is, she added. Kalaki and her colleagues recruited 36 people to fall asleep in laboratories located in the United States, France, Germany, and the Netherlands with the aim of entering a lucid state in which a person was aware that they were in a dream. The study included several experienced lucid dreamers, including one individual with narcolepsy, as well as people who were more or less familiar with the type of dream. The researchers have verified the participants have entered REM sleep by placing electrodes next to their eyes, on their scalps, and on their chins. By measuring activity such as brainwaves and eyeball movements, sleep experts can determine if a person has entered the deep sleep state, or REM cycle, right? Some of the participants were asked to confirm that they were in a dream with a pre-arranged ocular response in which they removed their eyes in a specific left-right pattern. These eye signals, along with facial contortions, were used as means of communication during the sleep sessions. For instance, the researchers asked a 19-year-old American to participant to subtract 6 from 8 while he was in a lucid dream, and he correctly signaled the answer 2 with eye movements from left to right. When asked again, he repeated the correct answer, which is extremely fascinating. Roughly 18% of the trials resulted in the level of clear and acute communication from the dreamer, 17% in decipherable answers, and 3% ended with incorrect responses, and 60% did not provoke any response at all. It's fascinating stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
At the end of the day, we are one step closer to Inception, Leo movie. Count Panic, hashtag Panic
Stack. Yeah, you know, I have a hard time remembering my own dreams there, Bob. I can't remember a thing I dreamed about anymore. The secret is to remembering your dreams. You got to wake up, go back to sleep for like an hour. Then if you dream during that time, wake up again and you'll remember them. But yeah, all this stuff is fascinating to me. Dreaming in general is very fascinating to me. I mean, are we entering another world? We're dreaming.
Some people believe that dreams are a look into something else, another dimension, you understanding and the concept of consciousness versus not.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. I love the idea of the interaction through dreams. Like, that's one of my favorite like fictional tropes. I love Inception for that concept. There's a comic called Dream Police, same thing. I love that stuff.
Well, the Dream Police.
Oh, yeah.
The Dream Police, they come for you.
They come for you, yes. Bed. But I find that stuff extremely fascinating. Now, in the back of my mind, not to be the conspiracy theorist on staff here, because I'm not, nor is this a conspiracy theory show, I would say this is a probably, there's some, you know, could be used very nefariously. I'm interested to see what they can actually prove from this. If you can communicate with people while they're sleeping, are they trying to make people work longer because they're sleeping? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah. Well, again, it's a very interesting concept to deal with. More studies in sleep and dreaming, I think, need to be done. But, yeah, the whole thing, very fascinating to me still.
All right. Last story here comes to us from the New York Times. Their family business, The Other Dimension. The Parapsychology Foundation, a four-generation maternal dynasty, fights for its future. If anybody is familiar with the Parapsychology Foundation, they are like the group of people for the study of parapsychology, which is what we do, Bob After Dark-wise, sometimes. You look at that through paranormal investigations. Lizette Coley and Anastasia Demalis are at crossroads. But on a recent late winter morning, they also were in the book-filled storefront of their foundation in Greensport section of Long Island when someone knocked at the door. Miss Coley, 71, and her daughter, Miss Demalis, 32, were leery. Their family nonprofit is appointment only and no appointments were scheduled. In walked in a woman who had driven from Eaton's Neck because she was interested in buying the building. She requested a tour, but Miss Coley told her the foundation was closed for the day. Still, the woman made her way into the quiet, pristine space toward the back of the archive where Ms. Coley just unveiled the 90-year-old photos of her grandmother that were never shown to the public. The photos feature Eileen J. Garrett as celebrity medium in the 20th century, deep in trance. The uninvited visitor surveyed the room and left in a hall. "That was quite a regular," Ms. Coley said afterward, "but it's not only bizarre occurrence of the day. Lights flickered on when their switches were in the off position, and a lot of electrical buzz sounds immediately came on and off," which would make sense in the Parapsychology Foundation, right? That's what I expect. "Could such events be paranormal related to the appearance of the rare photos? Some might think so. Others might correlate them to the ordinary problems of this mundane world. An aging 87-year-old building in a cutthroat real estate market. Because after 17 years in this location, when the business is a little over 70 years old, the mother-daughter proprietors of the Parapsychology Foundation are about to lose their lease. At risk is the enormous one-of-a-kind Eileen J. Garnett Library, a staggering archive of books, scholarly papers, photographs, letters, and something of 600 videos documenting the bored and complicated field of the parapsychology in the 20th century. My grandmother used to say, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I believe in the paranormal. Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, I don't. And Sunday, I don't give a damn," Miss Coley said, relating to the weariness that comes from a precarious nonprofit. "After all these years, I feel the same way." Miss Coley and Miss Demas find a financial predicament. Their landlord is selling the building in Greenport, and they cannot afford to buy it. Highlights a fork in both their livelihood and culture trajectory from the discipline itself. Parapsychology, a coin termed in 1889 by German psychologist and philosopher Max Dessauer for scientific investigation of psychic and paranormal phenomena, often refers to the experimental approach to its field. It pursued many of the questions now studied by hard scientists like physics and neuroscience, yet today is widely misunderstood by general public. New science and research are either lost in academic echo chambers or reduced to haunted house explorations on TV. I lost your voice count.
So basically they're saying they don't give the respect that they deserve.
They
basically
don't. No, parapsychology, you could legitimately, at one point, you could go to like a Big Ten university and get a PhD in parapsychology. These days, there are still a handful of universities that, like, legit universities, you'd go to college and get your degree in parapsychology. They still exist. My dream is to always get my PhD in para. But it's hard to do, and there's some of the online schools, they do offer it. They say they're accredited, but I, you know, it's like one of those things where it's like, are you really accredited?
Yeah.
Because they're saying you could complete your PhD in like a year. But I've always been interested in a degree in parapsychology, and it's really unfortunate for these guys that they're losing the lease to the building.
Yeah.
Like that's unfortunate. It's terrible. And the amount of research in that library, anybody who's familiar with classic paranormal investigations are aware of this organization, and this is a big deal. They're hoping that they could still figure out a new spot. They are launching a Kickstarter for people to try to find out what they can do. to help save the foundation, or at least move them into someplace different, because the study and the research is very important.
Yeah, I hope it works out for them too. But you know, we filmed this, Bob, on a local campus here. Too bad they don't have this degree. We could go back right across the street.
That's our alma mater, Count Panic. Yes. Bachelor's degree in broadcasting.
Why can't we get the other degree?
Neil's going to teach our parapsychology courses.
Why not?
Ooh. That was our deep cut for the people that remember PUC.
Would it be cool, like, if you could get what yours, then you bring the classes here and people get degrees from you, Professor Bob, Dr. Bob?
If I had a legitimate PhD, I could go teach parapsychology courses.
Dr. Bob,
that would be me. And that's what I've always wanted to say. I have a PhD in parapsychology. And parapsychology, you get a PhD in that, you get a focus like you would broadcasting. In ours, my broadcast focus was in film. Mm-hmm. Yours was, I think, in radio broadcast, which would make sense where you're what we're doing now. But you get a focus in parapsychology where you can focus in cryptozoology. You know, that's fascinating to me.
Yeah. Well, one day, Bob. One day.
Yeah. Speaking of cryptozoology, that is what our lore of the week is about tonight. I picked this one. It was a short read. It's a fascinating read on the Cryptid Wiki. Again, guys, I'm sorry it's not the most drawn out episode of Bob After Dark, but it's something to give you to sink your teeth into.
Yeah.
And this story is about the Shorlotti from Iceland.
Okay.
All right. According to the Cryptid Wiki, the Shorlotti, also known as the Icelandic word that I cannot pronounce, Fjorulalli. And it is not, the Icelandic language is not phonetic.
Not going to even pronounce
it. I am not, no. I could tell you it's Forlali. It's close to that. Or we can call it by the other popular name as the Beach Walker. It is a ram-sized creature found along the coast of the West Fjords in Iceland. The Vrolali, or the Beach Walker, or the Shorlotti, has brownish-gray fur from which mussels and barnacles grow, a feature which leads to the distinctive shape, a scrape or jingle it makes when it walks. Thus, an unwary traveler may be alerted to the presence of one of these beasts just by it walking by you. So it has jingling pouches of barnacles and mussels. Not mussels like flexing, but mussels, the sea creature. The Shorlotti has been reported as having both webbed feet and hooves. So it's webbed hooves. Although, which version is most accurate is up for debate. So it's not webbed hooves. That's trying to be silly. Some say these things have hooves. Some say they're webbed. If they're hanging out around the water, I would say the webbed would probably be a little bit more convenient. If you're hanging around sand, I don't know how easily a hooved creature can get in and around water. If you're looking at it from a zoological standpoint.
That's another degree we don't have. We got to figure that one out, too.
Most people say the Shorlotti is a herbivore creature, so they eat typically plants. However, because it's a spooky, weird creature that hangs out, there is legend that says it feeds upon sheep and women, especially pregnant women.
Uh-oh. Not good. Not good, Bob.
And here's a couple little fun facts about the Shorlotti. The Shorlotti is the most commonly sighted cryptid in Iceland, and that is the place of trolls, remember? So this thing's more common than the trolls of Iceland. The creature is most commonly seen during sheep breeding season and is most commonly accused of impregnating and creating deformed lambs. So it impregnates lambs, and when the lamb comes out deformed, it's the Beach Lottie's fault. And this thing has been cited and has reports dating back all Gesundheit over there in the studio. I'm not editing that out because it's real. These things have been sightings and reports dating back to the 1700s.
Wow.
The Shorlotti is said at times to act aggressively. Also, the reports say it flees into the sea and those occasions that is spotted by human observers. So it sounds to me like this thing has been spotted a whole lot, but none of the reports seem to be very oh, what's the word I'm looking for? None of these reports seem to be consecutive.
No.
Some say this thing has hooves. Some say it has webbed feet. The couple of images I've seen of it make it look like it's kind of like a toss-up between a sheep and a weasel and like a bobcat.
Bobcat.
Or saber-toothed tiger almost.
A bobcat? You are a saber-toothed tiger.
Yeah, this is what it looks like. It looks, that's what it, this is the combination of it. It looks like a saber-toothed tiger.
Terrifying.
Mixed with like a possum, mixed with like a sheep.
That's not a good image there, Bob.
No.
No.
So that's the story of the shore, Lottie. It's not, it was a quick read. I wanted to share something with you guys.
I don't know not about Iceland. I know Iceland is green and Greenland is ice, basically. But it's good to hear the lore of Iceland.
Maybe we'll get some trolls. We'll get a troll episode at some point. I have a friend, Katarina, who is from Iceland.
Oh, yeah?
And maybe I could get her to collaborate on an Icelandic episode. Ask me why I picked this.
Why'd you pick that, Bob?
I saw the name on the Cryptid Wiki page. I never heard of it. I clicked it. It was a quick read. And I do know that we've gotten listens in Iceland before so far, like, 3 fans in Iceland. This episode is dedicated to you.
This is a special episode for those folks in Iceland.
I would say they're listening, and they got excited. They gave us a pop. So.
And there's the trolls come from Iceland too.
Yes, the trolls from the Iceland. That's actually like their big stories out there. Remember we talked about the Christmas trolls? Yeah, they're all Icelandic. Yeah. And your favorite, the Yule Cat.
The Yule Cat. You're right. How can I forget the Yule Cat is Iceland and native.
Yep. Yeah. So this is. But here's the. The lore cat, the Yule Cat's like long distant cousin, the Shore Lottie.
Who's more devastating?
This thing apparently has a thing for sheep, and that's not good.
No, but Yule Cat will take out you out if you don't get clothes for Christmas. So that's equally devastating.
Panic! It is March going into April as we're recording this.
Yeah.
And
but it feels
I don't
like
feel like talking about Christmas.
I know, but it feels Christmassy outside.
It's not that cold. It's like 40 degrees.
As the time we're filming it, there might be a little chance for some snow tomorrow. Little chance.
There is not going to be any.
Some spring snow.
I will scream. Ostara hasn't happened yet. We haven't hit spring yet.
We are in the spring equinox.
No, we're not.
Wait.
When is?
Yeah, we hit spring.
No, we did not hit the.
March 22nd. March, my boy.
No, stop.
I'm not. We are officially in the spring season, though.
Wow. Ostara was March 20th this year.
Yeah.
No kidding. Somehow I missed that.
Don't worry, Bob. We'll get it next year.
Well, blessed way to star for all of my witchy fans out there.
There you have it.
No idea. Anyway, folks.
The veil is not at its thinnest.
No, it's at the thick part. It'll thin back out. Top part at the summer solstice.
We're coming. So summer solstice. We're
summer solstice,
thinner.
The veil will thin.
Okay.
And then Samhain rolls around Halloween time, veil's thin, and then it's very thin there, and it stays thin through the winter solstice.
And my moon water. I gotta get my moon water.
We don't have full moon.
I know.
Right now. I mean, I guess you could. You know, fun fact: people make moon water when there's a new moon, and it's like, I mean, I get it, but like, I want my moon water to have moon.
Moonbeams, yes.
Do you have any last words to the audience?
Bob, again, it's good to be back here, and you know, blessings to you and your family.
Thank you.
Hopefully things do get better. But, Bob, excited to be back. And you know what? I know this was a weird episode. We're just trying to get back in the groove of things, getting back in the swing of things. We got some great guests coming up, Bob, so I'm very excited for that too. Some friends of the show.
Friends of the show, yeah. Yes. Oh, next week, Nat and Kat from ACG Paranormal is going to be attending, and we're going to be talking about paranormal investigations, one of my favorite pastimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we could talk them into doing an investigation soon, and we'll collaborate over at the old studio.
Oh, they should just – I welcome them over there. You know
what? We should bring them over there next week.
Yeah, because they'll be in town, right?
We'll be in town. Might as well. Yeah. I'll reach out to them. We'll see. Yeah.
We'll do a little preview.
You drink some hot tea, man. Get yourself, you know, and back to the old Bob Anderson ways of things.
Yeah.
If my dad was in the right state of mind, you know what my dad would tell you right
now? I'm guessing.
Now? Hot toddy.
Yeah, that.
That's the listen. That's I was passing a kidney stone, and I was getting ready to go to the hospital. My dad's like, just drink a hot toddy.
A hot toddy. That's the way to do it. Yeah.
Dad, I love you. You're not going to hear this, but I just want you to know I love you, and I appreciate being back, guys, and thank you so much for the Thank you so much for the support. And despite my dad not hearing this anymore, nor will he hear the show, I just want to say Good night to my mom and dad and to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world. I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are: not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.